SB Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your small business. Our team specializes in finance and accounting, information and technology, web development, social media, general consulting, HR, and compliance issues. Small Business Tech Guys has over 100 years of joint executive experience in a variety of fields across the small business spectrum. We thrive on assisting small business entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tech Watch Radio. My name is Sam Bushman. Jay Harrison, my co-host on your radio and on your podcast, Captured Client, wherever you're listening or watching or whatever the reality is over time. We're going to do all kinds of things with this podcast. Just a quick recap so people understand who we are, what we do. Again, my name is Sam Bushman. I'm a talk show host. I own a company called Small Business Tech Guys, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I'm also, I do radio. I do political radio as well. And we don't get into that really politics on the broadcast too much for Tech Watch Radio because it's all about tech. But just so you kind of understand my background, all of us who run Small Business Tech Guys have jobs that we do as well in the tech industry. So we are IT professionals for a living. That's worthy of note as well. But Tech Watch Radio has a great history as well. This show used to be on traditional AM and FM radio, and it was a weekly show every Saturday. It was a great show, and we loved it, and we loved doing it. But you know what? We found that with our tech jobs and our growing families and all the different things that we had our hands in, it just became, I don't want to say a burden, because we love tech and we love radio, so it's never a burden. But it just didn't work out schedule-wise for all the players, for all the people that were involved in the show. And so we put the show on hiatus for a while. Well, now we're bringing it back with a sponsor. My company, Small Business Tech Guys, is the primary sponsor of Tech Watch Radio. And we're bringing it back not as a radio show, which means you always have to have a solid hour or a solid 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever it be. We're bringing it back as a podcast, which means we don't have any time limits. It can be 5 minutes 1 week. It can be 30 minutes another week. If we want to do two shows in a week, great. If you want to do two shows in a month, great. If you don't really want to do a long show, but there is something breaking in tech that you feel like we got to get the word out about, fantastic. You just simply do an episode. And all that formatting of a radio clock of you got to do a solid hour where you can't have varying lengths in the show, or all that's gone. So we believe that this flexibility of the ability to for us to release episodes whenever we choose, the ability to have varying length episodes as we see fit, and then the ability if we need to skip a week because we're too busy for our families, no big deal. A podcast just comes out whenever it does. That's the way it's going to work. So this is the first, what do you call it, initial resuming of the Tech Watch Radio show?
The pilot podcast, possibly?
Yeah, but it's hard when you stop and you've done it for years, and then you stop and you restart. Is it really a pilot?
I think that we should call this episode 407, because I think that's where we left off, Sam.
407. So is this 408, or was 406 the last one?
No, I think 406 was the last one. I'll have to double check some notes on that.
406 the last one. We're focusing on 407. The world tries to focus on 420. We're staying out of that. And we're going to go ahead and just have a great time. Now, this is the broadcast. We decided we'd kick it off for 2022. So this is the broadcast for January 21st, 2022. And that'll be 407, or you could say the first episode of the relaunch, or the re-grand opening, or whatever you want to call it, of Tech Watch Radio in a new podcast format. So anyway, that summary gives you kind of a history of who we are and, you know, what we've done before. And by the way, there will be a tie back to, we're working on that now, a tie back to some of the old shows we've done too, because sometimes it's cool to kind of listen to, it's like old time radio a little bit. You listen to a tech show and you go, wow, remember when iPhones were new? Yeah. Remember when they have the iPhone 5 out and they changed the form factor size or whatever kind of unique stuff? It's a little bit of a documentation of history from a tech point of view, too. So it's kind of fun. We'll make that all available. SBTechGuys.com is the website for Small Business Tech Guys, the business. There's a page called Podcast on there. And you can basically link directly to that going forward, and all the episodes will be posted there as well. Along with, again, we host it on Blueberry, a podcasting platform and hosting solution that has all kinds of publish points. So it'll be on Eventually, we'll get it done on Google Play. It'll be on iTunes. It'll be on, you know, all the different services, Stitcher and I don't know, whatever else the heck there is. It seems like there's more every day, which is great news for us. So we will be having all those published points that come to mind, Spotify and everywhere else, so that you can listen and share the broadcast with your friends, etc. A little bit of an intro to small business tech, guys. You know, I've owned an IT company for literally years, and the names have changed
really.
Over those years. Yeah, decades. That's true. I started my first company in, I think, 89. And it was called in the very, very beginning, it was called InfoSystems. Because I built computer systems. I was a hardware guy at the time. I built computer systems and worked for a college in their IT department. And I built systems for colleges. I would sell them hard drives and monitors and keyboards and systems. And I'd maintain and support those systems for them. And believe it or not, back then, I was selling them 20 megabyte. I know, I said megabyte on purpose. 20 megabyte hard drives for $650, Jay.
Oh, yeah, on a giant card, probably, that was bigger than your cell phone for sure. You know,
yeah.
The,
oh,
the size
huge.
Of a shoebox.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I've come a long way, baby, since then. But what happened is that company did very well for several years, and then Dell decided to sell directly to consumers. And it didn't totally put me out of business, but it made me have to become kind of a value-added reseller. And when I became a value-added reseller, then it got to where they made it very hard for any of us to make any money. So I kind of stopped that, and I kind of did my own stuff, and then I got into radio. I bought a radio station in 96, and then I really went into the vertical markets of automation radio and consulting in that arena, and I did that for a long time. And then I went and took some day jobs with some companies, and I was the IT director for those companies for a long time. All the while, though, I had my little companies kind of operating on the side as kind of a consulting gig, and I developed some software for radio. That's now a really well-known software offering called Audio Compass, which does really well. It's been sold to well over 300 radio stations. And if I were to start naming the people that have purchased the software, a lot of them are well-known big people. I mean, sport networks and broadcasters that you'd know the names of and everything else. That still continues today, and that's branded as Audio Compass, the name of the product, under one of my DBAs or doing businesses as end-to-end technologies. Anyway, long story short, so I worked for this company for a long time, and then their IT needs got just too much for one person. And I said, look, we're going to have some help here. And they said, why don't you just, you know what, crank your company back up. Why don't you consult for us? We'll just turn over all of our IT to you as an outsourced company. And that way you can hire your people and train them the way you want. And then our company doesn't get over 50 people, which no companies want to get over 50 people these days anymore because of all the repercussions of big business versus small business. The list goes on and on of all that. But anyways, and so I then cranked up the DBA, Small Business Tech Guys, which is really doing business as for my company, Sandbushman Incorporated, which has been around for a long, long, long time. Anyway, to make a long story short, that's the summary. So even though if you look up Small Business Tech Guys or SB Tech Guys and you go look when the domain was created or some of those things, it's only been around for a couple of years. But really the company and the people behind the company have been around in the IT industry for literally decades with a well-known track record of all kinds of IT service and support and training and software development, and the list goes on and on. And I tell you that because on our website we talk about, you know what, we've got well over 100 years of IT knowledge brought to bear for small business. That's who we are. That's what we do. And so we deal with finance. We deal with HR. We deal with IT security. We run a help desk for some of our clients already. And if you need help with your small business, then sbtechguys.com is the place to go. You can schedule your free initial consulting discussion call. And it's a place where you can learn about us and decide if we have the skill sets that you need. It's a chance for us to learn about your business and what your needs are, and then for us as small business tech guys to make a proposal for you, to kind of put it, you know, pen to paper and say, hey, here's based on what we discussed, what we think we can offer you, what the dollars and cents will look like, you know, how we intend to be your outsourced part-time tech team, if you will, kind of a thing. And so it really is a wonderful opportunity. SBTechGuys.com is the website. Enough of that. And every week we're not going to be, you know, hardcore focusing on SB Tech Guys, the business. It is the sponsor. So there will be commercials running relating to that company. But day to day, we're just going to be talking about tech. And that's the purpose of this broadcast. But for the initial relaunch, pilot podcast broadcast, we wanted to kind of go through and tell you who we are, what we do, give you that kind of breakdown. So thanks for listening. Let's kick it off now and start out. Christmas was last month. What tech did you get for Christmas? We're going to talk about that. I'll give you a couple of things that I got. And then Jake can tell you what he got tech-wise for Christmas. What did you get your loved ones? Do you always buy tech items for Christmas? And in the old days, my family used to have a hard time knowing what to get me for Christmas because they kind of thought, man, he's just so techy. I don't want to pick something that he won't like or that he can't need or that he can't use. But they've learned now that I've got grown-up sons that are in IT, believe it or not, they can tell mom or my wife, right, what to get dad or, you know, husband for Christmas for tech. My boys are tech enough to know exactly what dad wants.
Sometimes,
and they do a killer job.
Sometimes they know before you do, right? What you want.
Unfortunately, they're getting better at IT than I am. And by the way, they do work for me too, by the way. So you get their talents to bear as well. And that's why SB Tech Guys is so unique, because you've got some old people that really understand tech and have that background and history and business acumen. But you've got a bunch of young IT professionals too that bring the latest and the greatest knowledge to the table too. But I got before Christmas a bit. I got a fridge that's in my office. And man, I love that thing. It is high tech. It's teeny. But yet you can drop the temperature down and your drinks are super cold. I mean, it is fantastic. So I got one of those. But then I also got several other things. I got a travel case for my radio gear, Jay.
Yeah.
Like a Gator, whatever they call those, a Gator box. It's a big suitcase looking thing.
With the wheels and all.
It's hard shell. And on the inside, it's got several different foam layers. And so what you do is you just pull out how many ever layers of foam you need for space, and then you can go ahead and put all your tech gear in there. So I'm going to have a great travel with wheels. So it rolls on wheels, but it's a great solid-as-a-rock case.
Like a Pelican case.
Yeah, for my IT.
Nice.
Didn't they used to call those things Gator boxes or Gator cases or something, too?
Yeah, when I think of Gator cases, I think more like the rolling racks kind of things. You know.
All right, so this isn't a rack. But it is rolling, and it is pretty big. I mean, it could store a bunch of gear in there, man. You could bring a whole on-the-road studio even in the thing. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
But it's phenomenal. So I got one of those for Christmas. And, man, because here's what I've done in the past. I'm just so cheap, kind of. I always look for ways to save small businesses money and stuff. And so I, you know, rig these things together to bring my gear on the road. And I have an old laptop case that I just shove everything in, and it gets all bulky. And they're just like, Dad, enough of that. Or, you know, and so they bought me this incredible a case, and now I can actually go and style and protect my gear and do it right. And so it came in two ways. I got one, the box, the case, and then it also came with a little certificate. My son's like, Dad, I'll work with you and help you get it all set up. Perfect, man. I'll go out and get all the tie downs you need and all the different things that you need, and we'll just build it together, man. So when you're on the road, you'll just be styling. So anyway, I got that for Christmas. I thought it was fantastic.
So is it all form-fitted into your equipment? Like, do you run your equipment inside of this case, or do you take it out of the case when you go live?
You could do either.
I see.
Yeah. So anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. I got that going on. I also got a Link camera for Christmas for my porch. And it's not a doorbell camera, but it is from Amazon. And so we hooked up that camera now, and it's got two cool modes. It always streams. And it can stream where you just, you know, can connect to it and watch it all the time, 24/7 streaming, if you will. And that does not provide alerts if it's in that mode. Or you can set it to a mode which watch for motion. And if there's no motion, it's just dormant. But if there's any motion, then it kicks in. And it can then relay to your cell phone or whatever else the different motion that it sees. And then you can press a button and listen to the audio or watch the people that are on your ports and stuff like that. We've hooked that up and been playing with that quite a bit. That's a lot of fun.
Have you ever had people steal stuff? I mean, so Sam lives in a suburb. I live in a very rural area. I've never had anybody steal anything from my porch. But
yeah, because to go to Jay's porch, you'd have to march down the lane for a while.
Yeah, you better get out with your four-wheel drive before you come to my house. But have you had people steal stuff from your porch? It seems to be pretty rampant around.
I have never really had blatantly somebody steal from my porch, but there has been, I think, one time or two times in 20 years we've lived at the same location where a package has gone missing. I don't know that I'd accredit it to stealing, though, because we live in a neighborhood that's not really subject to stealing. It's a pretty quiet, mellow neighborhood or whatever else. But I mainly got it for that, too. It's like, hey, if there's when we leave, what we do is we put motion on the porch, and then that way, hey, if a package comes, we knows or whatever. It's not tied into our doorbell, and it's not tied into the cops or any of those kind of things. But it's a pretty neat little camera. And the reason that they're cool and I bring them up, I know a lot of people are going, Sam, we've had these for years. Come on, this isn't new tech. No, it's not new tech. But I'll tell you what is new. And that is the ability for these things to become so inexpensive. I mean, for well under $50, you can get a great camera now, Jay, and hook it up, and it could be online, and you can literally watch your porch.
Yeah, with the Wisecam, which is another one that I've been really impressed with, you can get Wisecams for $20 that are, they have motion detecting and AI so they can tell people from animals, and they're
sure.
Tearing it up, and it's very inexpensive.
And they're smart enough to say if it's just a cat that ran across, it's smart enough to see what the cat's like and say that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Meaning it won't trip the sensor or whatever. It's no big deal kind of thing. And you can set hours for things to happen. So overnight, I'm going to have it watch for motion and alert me. But during the day, I'm not. You know, there's all kinds of. So the real neat tech is the decrease in cost and the clear AI capabilities these cameras have. And then the online capabilities that make it just so easy to use. They've taken the corporate world of monitoring and stuff, and they've just boiled it down to the consumer level so inexpensively. The reason I said $50, Jay, is because you can buy the camera for $20 and even pay for the first year of service. If you want to back your video up online, then if you ever need to send it to the cops, it's a click of one button. You can send a snippet to the cops or
right.
to a loved one. Or if something funny happens on your porch, you can send it to your family and laugh. On Polo or Marco Polo or on, you know, some kind of a chat thing or whatever. And so I said $50 because you can not only make the camera hook up and sync for that, but you can literally get online backup and support for the thing included for that kind of dollars.
It's incredible.
This is just in the last couple of years that that's really changed to that degree.
Agreed.
Anyway, kind of fun, and I got that, and it's pretty cool. And we'll keep an eye on those things for you. As well. So those are the primary things I got for Christmas. I got a few other things, but I won't bore you. Jay, what did you get for Christmas?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the gifts that I recently got, and I didn't think I would like it near as much as I do and have after I've been using it, and that is the Apple AirPod Pros. You know, they're over $200 for a set of earbuds, and I've always just thought, well,
and they're expensive as all get out, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I thought, yeah, that's cool, but, you know, what can they really do? They got active noise canceling and a few things like this. But now they've upgraded them. Even since I've had them, they've upgraded them with the ability to use them like hearing aids. So if you're in a very noisy environment, it can block the loud stuff but amplify the small stuff. You know, you can use them like a headset for your phone. You don't have to carry around some other headset if you wanted to go hands-free. I like them a lot. My son Aaron bought it for me. And I was just like, I was at first I was like, man, I don't know. This is too much really to spend on earbuds. But now if I'll tell you how much I like them, if they were to break or I would lose them, I would buy them again myself. So that says that they're worth the price.
Well, and I think this comes a little bit from we've been in tech for a long time. And when something new comes, it takes a lot to impress us.
Right.
The difference right now, I believe, though, is they've gone from Gen 1 to Gen 2 to Gen whatever on these things to the point where they have now integrated them into our lives so much so to where they're useful. There's a lot of tech that started out where you go, why would I want that? To, man, I got to have that. That's how tech's been changing over the last several years as well, Jay.
Yeah, and the problem is now the tech gets to where I can't live without that. You know, I wouldn't want to go without the AirPods. You know, because I use them so much. I use them quite frequently, much more than I thought I ever would. And I used an iPhone or any phone, you know, for decades before that without feeling like, oh, I better have my earpods to go with this. But they're really valuable. In fact, I was telling Sam before we started the broadcast, I was like, I got to figure out a way, instead of these big, heavy radio headphones, to figure out a way to get my AirPods hooked up so that I can just use those for the broadcast.
Yeah, then we'll be in the middle of a show, and Jay'll be like, hold on, what'd you say? My Bluetooth went to my car, and it's on my wife's something, and she's driving down there. Hold on, and, you know.
And everyone will be able to relate, so it'll be very relatable.
That's right. It'll be relatable for sure. That's kind of my frustration with some of those things, is that happens to me all the time. Everybody's like, Bluetooth is great, Sam, and then pretty soon they're like, I'm talking to somebody's wife, and it's like, what? Oh, I'm sorry, he left his something in here, and I took off in the car, and can you call him on this number?
Happens all the time.
It's like, are you kidding me right now, people? When are they going to get that straightened out?
No, they're not. It's only going to get more complex, but we're going to get used to it.
No, they are.
Like, oh, yeah, I know. Happens to me all the time.
Nope, they're going to find a way to fix it. They're going to find a way to say, hey, you know what? And this is kind of how Alexa has done things. If you've got five Alexas in your house, they're starting to get very good at saying which Alexa is closest to you, and then which one should respond based on that heuristic information of where you are versus where it's placed. And it audio is learning that. Well, they're going to be able to do that. Hey, your wife jumps in the car and takes off. It's going to say, hey, that's the wife's Bluetooth, not yours. Therefore, we won't whatever. And it's going to get smarter, folks. It really
is. You're probably right. It probably will.
And it's going to be a great thing when it does.
And also, I'm pretty, as you can tell, entrenched in Apple. And I've got an Apple Watch and an iPhone. And sometimes when I say the magic, hey, S word, you know, I don't want to say it now because it'll wake up everything. It doesn't. Sometimes both my watch and my phone respond. So maybe they'll get better with that, too.
They will. They'll say, hey, if your watch is touching a human, then, you know, whatever. All right. My daughter also got a ring. And I can't remember the name of this ring right this second. But she got a ring that's super high tech, and you put it on, and it connects to your phone app and everything else. It's kind of like the Apple Watches, but it does incredible things regarding your health. I mean, it can track your steps, and it can track your heartbeat, and when you sleep, it can tell how many times you've woken up. And it
How do you have to charge this thing? Do you charge it at night?
Yeah, well, you take it off. It can last for like 4 or 5 days without charging, between charges.
I haven't heard of this.
And you can go ahead and... just wear it, and you don't have to do anything special. Like, you don't have to, like, act certain ways or do certain things. It just does its thing and records all of its data, and it provides these reports. I mean, they're cool. They cost anywhere from $300 to $400, I think, depending on.
Is there a display on the ring or no?
No.
Okay.
And you watch all of it on your app or whatever. It's got, if you feel the inside of the ring, it's got these little sensors that you can tell touches your skin and knows things. And anyway, it's a very cool ring, and it's connected to an app and to a service and everything else. And it does. I've been thinking about getting one of those. It's so tremendous of what data it tracks and how it can give you.
You just need an Apple Watch, Sam.
No, I don't know.
Have you tried them yet? You probably haven't tried it.
I have played with some of them, but I don't like them.
Yeah.
And I know people are like, Sam, you don't need an Apple Watch. You just need a Fitbit. And Sam, you just need a ring. And I'm checking out all these technologies. And I will say that so far, that ring seems the most impressive to me. I can't remember what it's called. I can try to figure that out. But anyway, all I'm telling you is it's a pretty cool Christmas gift that my daughter got that I've been tracking with her experience and playing with a little bit and learning about and getting involved in, too. One of the things to remember, too, is old IT guys, it used to be to where we could know everything about your computer and your printer and all that stuff. And you know what? You just go to an IT guy and they knew, right? Nowadays, though, it's not possible. I don't care if you're an IT guy. Whatever area you're in IT, there's so mammoth of an IT world around you now to where I don't care if you're Joe Programmer and you're really knowledgeable and really capable. You just don't know about all the hardware out there. If you're a hardware guy, you don't know about all the software.
You can't know.
If you're a desktop development guy, you don't know all about the gaming world or vice versa. And it's become a huge technosphere. Is that what we call it, Jay?
Yeah, because everything is IT now. I mean, it used to be IT was just this very small niche kind of thing, and you know, only those nerds knew about that. And everything now is IT. Everything is computerized.
And everything not only is IT, but even if you don't want it to be IT, it's connected to IT in very unique ways that are flat out unavoidable, right?
And sometimes by most people, ununderstandable, or they don't, not ununderstandable, but they just don't realize. They don't see all the connections that are happening in the background. And that can be...
Okay, so the ring my daughter got is called an Aura ring.
Aura, okay.
Yep, Aura ring. And they're pretty neat. And there's all kinds of technologies. And I think a lot of times it just determines... It comes down to whatever you're most comfortable wearing or using or what interface you like best or what ecosystem you find yourselves in. You know, are you an Amazon guy? Are you a Google guy? Are you a Apple guy? Are you a whatever? And then there's some of these knockoff products and... You know, you pray they don't get melted into one of those other ecospheres, because if they do, then, man, they'll ruin it. You know, you worry about all that kind of stuff. So anyway, kind of interesting. All right, did you get anything else for Christmas?
Well, I have to say, probably the best thing that I got for Christmas, and I kind of bought it for myself, although I went in with my family, some of my older boys, on this project. We got on the waiting list back in, I think, March of 2021 for Elon Musk's Starlink satellite system.
Yeah, so people joke about Christmas in July. You guys were way before that.
We were planning ahead. As I mentioned before about the four-wheel drive, we're in a very rural part of North Florida, and so it's troublesome to get good bandwidth. And we finally got that thing just a couple of weeks ago, and it's amazing how simple it is to set up. This is the Gen 2 version, too, which I didn't even know was coming. The ones I've seen before were bigger, rounder dishes. this dish is about the size of a laptop, and it's square, it's sort of rectangular like that. And you literally just clip it into the stand and plug the router in. Everything else, all the wires are pre-connected with waterproof connections. The only downside I've seen to this is there's no Ethernet jack, so you can't just like jack it into your normal equipment. If you wanted to use it, you have to set up some sort of Wi-Fi bridge because it's the only way to connect to the version 2. But literally set it up. I just put it out on top of a van, and it synced up. You log into it with your cell phone. At first, it's an open Wi-Fi with no password. So you log into it. You turn on the app. You name the SSID what you want it to be. You give it a password if you want. And in 5 minutes, you're browsing. And I've seen speeds as high as about 180 down and up to 30 up on this thing. And I've been pleasantly impressed. Unlimited speed. So I've got a buddy of mine who lives a little bit south of me, and he has the ViaSat system. And he was just telling me the other day, he was like, man, my wife and I are kind of bummed because we can't watch TV. We're out of bandwidth, and there's still 12 days until the end of our cycle where our bandwidth goes back up. And they're paying $200
a month.
Yeah,
it's like a media fast by force.
Yeah, which, you know, there may be some pros for that. But, so this is unlimited, and it works really well. It's much closer than the geostationary satellites of HughesNet and ViaSat. And super impressive system. You know, people always talk about Elon Musk and some of his stuff kind of being vaporware. This definitely is not it. I've got it in hand and pretty impressed. I like it. That's probably the best Christmas gift, I think, of all around. As far as tech Christmas gift, for sure.
All right. It's called Starlink Broadband. Some people are calling it ElonNet because it's Elon Musk, the leader of the company that does Starlink, which is their latest satellite. Now, the
Tesla
interesting thing about
that.
This, yep. Just so people kind of understand, the old satellite internet systems are literally way up 35 miles in the sky or something like that, right?
No, 35,000 kilometers.
35,000.
22,000 miles up, yeah.
All right, so 22,000 miles up. And this thing is like...
It's 500 kilometers. So it's...
Which is...
About twice the height of the space station.
But it's how many miles is that then?
I don't know. I have to convert. It's like 300 miles or something. Hey, Siri.
But
I shouldn't say that on the
air. It's like 250 miles or something like that.
Everybody's phone out.
Or 300 miles. It's really, bottom line is, it's like a tenth of the other ones, about. So the point is, it's way closer. The point is, that means there's
341 miles.
All right. That means there's so much more low latency, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a way better latency scenario. And that's the biggest drawback people had to internet satellite. Or satellite internet in the past is that the latency was just all over the map and too far, and this really improves that substantially.
So
and that means the stability of the connection is way better.
If you run a ping on a normal satellite like HughesNet or they used to have Starband, remember? They used to be an advertiser for TechWatch, Starband.
Yeah, 1 to 4,000 millisecond kind of stuff.
Yeah, so 1,000 to 4,000 milliseconds where you'd see your ping time.
1 to 4 seconds, basically.
Exactly. And on the Starband, the average is about 55 milliseconds. So it's a little bit longer than your broadband. I mean, we've got a really good connection here in the studio, but we're pinging at like 14, 15 milliseconds, and that's a great connection. 55 milliseconds is not that bad. You can Sam and I did a conversation on just the Starlink for over an hour, and you know, there's a little bit of delay, but not noticeable. This was over the cell phone. Cell phone with its towers turned off, using only the Wi-Fi for the connection to Sam in Utah, and it was
the
beautiful.
Wi-Fi satellite was incredible. And I've got a Comcast internet connection, and you know, mine's a little bit better than 55 on the average. It's probably more like 40 or 45, but it's getting there. So these people are for real. Elon Musk and you know, the Tesla people, or whatever you want to call them, and the Starlink satellite is impressive. Basically, the unit costs like $500.
Yep.
To get the hardware, and then it's like $100 a month for the connection going forward. But it doesn't have any long term contracts. You got to wait to kind of be invited to it right now. Still though, right?
Yeah, it's kind of they call it a beta. You've got to put $100. You go to Starlink.com. You put $100 deposit on it, same as the Cybertruck. If you want $100 deposit, and when they tell you that it's ready, you pay them, and it's another. I think it's ended up being $450 because there's like $50 shipping. So you pay the first $100 of your system, then you pay the other $400, but then there's like $50 or $49 to ship it. So, then it gets there and yeah, again, you've got no contract. You've got, it's just pretty impressive. I hope it stays this way. What I really hope, Sam, to see is I think this will give competition to those guys like HughesNet and ViaSat and the people that are still in this industry playing. And what they need to do is those guys, I think the number one thing, the easiest for them to do is to open up and to loosen their throttling and their bandwidth caps a little bit. If you're going to deal with the low latency, which you can do for streaming, if you're watching Netflix or movies or whatever, you don't care about that latency. You're not even going to see it. It doesn't matter to you. It's going to buffer and it's going to be great. But if what they need to do is release some of that stuff and maybe even come up with an unlimited plan for people, you know, they're going to have to rethink it. This is going to be an industry changer for people if this rolls out and stays the same and stays at that $99 price point.
No question. Now, if you're a gamer or if you are an IT professional or you work from home and you need low latency stuff, that might be a different matter. But I'm telling you, this brings satellite in really to a lot of the rural areas in the country that don't have great internet anyway. This is a game changer, I'm telling you right now.
Absolutely.
If Elon Musk and Tesla and those guys can really scale, meaning they can bring a lot of people on and have it still perform in similar manner, it is going to be incredible. Make no mistake about it. We'll keep an eye on the ball on that as we test it more as well. Now, what were those trucks called again?
Which trucks?
Now, you just said you could put $100 down on a truck.
Oh, the Cybertruck. Right? The Cybertruck from
Cybertruck.
From Tesla. Yeah. I want one of those things so bad.
They're not even available, are they?
No. They pushed them back now to 2023.
That's the one where Elon went crazy and he ruined all my windows. Isn't that right?
Yeah, he threw the ball and it actually shattered
I've been working on getting my windows fixed on my my truck there. But anyway, it was kind of
a lot of people say they're ugly. I think that they're pretty cool, though. I mean, just the features.
I think they're very cool. I just want to see one in real life. So one of the things I have a problem with is we always announce new technologies and it takes 96 years and half the time it never really comes to fruition.
You know, that's one thing that we've always done on TechWatch Radio, though, is we've tried to focus away from that stuff that's like, or on the horizon, or maybe this will happen, or, oh, pretty soon they're going to have, transparent displays and stuff. We never really cover that stuff too much because we'd rather talk about what's here and now and what you can do today. And because even that's just as fascinating. It's just not on that bleeding edge of may never show up.
And I know sometimes people think, oh, you guys are just old. You're just not on the cutting edge. We are. We just would rather talk about what we're really doing and really experiencing and really living and how tech applies to your lives. We have kind of a philosophy at Small Business Tech Guys in our businesses, which is, you know what, we keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. Another phrase we use a lot is let tech serve you, not own you. And that's kind of one of the things, too. And so this speculation stuff, we avoid a lot because, like, hey, as soon as it's in my hands, I'll give you a real techno geek breakdown on the reality of it, etc. Final topic before we end this re-entrance into the market, if you will, broadcast, the coolest item released at CES. Now, that's the Consumer Electronics Show, ladies and gentlemen. Always kicks off in Vegas, start of January every year. A huge, huge show. It was scaled back big time and kind of whatever because nobody wanted to go because of the COVID or whatever. But they did release a bunch of online cool stuff, and Jay's got his pick.
They did have some cool stuff there. And it's funny because right after I get done saying, we don't talk about the stuff that's on the horizon, right? This is not released yet. So it kind of makes me, a little bit of a hypocrite, I guess. But it is so cool, I couldn't resist.
There's a little bit of exceptions, too, ladies and gentlemen, too. When they announce something at the CES show, we report it more as news. Whereas a lot of things, if they're not really announced and focused on and they're speculative, then we don't focus on them. But sometimes, even if they're released and they're news, we do, even though we may not normally talk about it because it's a big news. So we're going to give you the breakdown of what we think. How quick will it really come to fruition? Will it really come to fruition, or is it just a big old CES release for nothing? We'll give you our take on that, too.
Well, and the other thing with this is that it's based on technology that's been around for years, but we've not seen it really in the consumer realm that much. And this is the Nevito N1 stereo system, or not really a stereo system, but a speaker system that you'd set on your desk. It uses smart beaming technology. So we've seen this stuff before. I've seen it before in some interesting store displays where it uses two high frequency streams that mix at the right point where your head is, and so only you can hear it. So you can literally step into the stream and you hear the audio, and you can step out of it and you don't hear it. So people around you can't hear it.
So let me explain this. You've got to center that. In other words, you've got to adjust it to where wherever you're sitting or wherever you want to be is where you're in the beam.
Right, exactly. And so you'd have this, you can have it for an advertisement, or even people have tried this in museums. This is, they've used this, but it's not been super popular because you got to be just the right sweet spot. So you got a short person or a tall person, you might get outside of that area. but it's so you can beam audio directly to an individual. So what's super cool about this, and I think this is going to be neat, I haven't seen a price point on it yet. I would imagine it's going to be in the probably $200 range, but it's a system, a speaker system that you can put on your desk. And the smart beaming, what's smart about it is it tracks your head. So it can literally steer the audio to where you're at. And so you could have this, let's say you're in an office setting or wherever, and you can have an open cubicle. You don't need to have headphones. You don't have to have your AirPods on. You can have speakers on your desk that only you can hear. And I think it's super cool.
It is very cool. And the reason we wanted to talk about this is, one, it was really talked about at the CES. But two, it's got technology that precedes it that we know is real and we know does work.
Right.
Okay, so this is a little bit different in that realm as well. But I also understand, too, that so when you hear me singing at the top of my lungs to my favorite tunes, don't just think I'm crazy. I might just be in the stream.
We'll just think that you have a good rhythm and a good memory for lyrics.
That's right. Now, all they got to do is have that visual, too, to where you could just have a frame in front of you, Jay. And if I'm in the beam, in the stream, then my video appears there, too.
Yeah.
Can you get that done?
Well, you know, it's funny. At other places, we use these privacy filters for screens, and they kind of, they're polarized so that you can only generally see from straight on, but somebody looking at an off angle won't see your screen. But that's not really what you're talking about. That's pretty old school.
Yeah, that's old school and not at all what I'm talking about. That's just because you want to play games and not have your boss know. I understand all that. That's a different deal. I want this digital display to appear wherever I be at is what I want. Because then I can have my little phone and I can hit a button and I can have a big screen instantly wherever I am. See, then I got a real
only
computer
you can
in my
see.
Hand.
Yeah, that's right.
That only I could see.
Maybe Google Glass. Now, there's some old school tech.
Yeah, but they're actually working on modern day versions of that, too. The old school gen of Google Glass, but now there's companies really trying to refine that and turn that into some virtual reality stuff. And, you know, that sounds like futuristic stuff, but more of it might be here than you think.
My understanding is that Google still makes Google Glass for some companies, and they use them like on assembly lines and things like that for operators where they can pull up instructions and they can see in real time, you know, things that are happening. And so they're still using Google Glass. It's just not a to-consumer product anymore.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap. That's our first Back to Business TechWatch Radio podcast kicking off 2022. You can expect us to deliver these probably twice a month, three times a month, weekly, depending. We'll cover the news and when it breaks. And if there's something that we think is cool enough to talk about, we'll do it. The links will vary on the podcasts, but they'll be available just for you live and or on demand. At your fingertips. We also are going to dabble in video too. So you might see some TechWatch video casts coming up too. I've just got to convince Jay to take off his pajamas and get dressed up a little bit.
Good luck with
so
that.
So we can do this, right?
Right.
Hey, actually, believe it or not, the truth is Jay dresses better than almost anybody. He's always dressed up. That's really the truth. And, you know, so good on him for that. All right. Thanks to everyone. If you want to email us, we'd love to hear from you. What's the best address, Jay?
Talk@TechWatchRadio.com. Yep. Still works.
All right.
Always has.
Still works. Has
been
for years.
Decades.
Has for decades. And you know what? We'd love to hear from you, though. If you have an idea, if you have something that you'd like us to review or a suggestion or some topic you'd like us to focus on, please let us know. We'll consider that and put it in the hopper and check it out. Meanwhile, if you need help with your small business, sbtechguys.com is the answer. For Sam and Jay, make it a great tech day. Will you?